For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Ich warte seit Wochen auf diesen Tag und tanz vor Freude über den Asphalt, als wär's ein Rhythmus, als gäb's ein Lied, das mich immer weiter durch die Straßen zieht. Komm dir entgegen.
Hallo und welcome to Gegenpressing, the Bundesliga Podcast. I'm your host Manuel Feit, and as always, joined by Stefan Biankowski. Stefan, how's it going? How's your weekend been?
Yeah, good. I'm feeling the brunt of it, unfortunately, for two reasons. I had some friends come to stay, drank far too much beer. We're in the middle of like this some sort. Well, this is basically our summer in Scotland, which we routinely joke about lasts about 6 days before autumn's just around the corner. So I found myself in a beer garden for most of Saturday, drank too much beer. I'm currently dealing with a 2 day hangover, which is not great, but also just walking the dog. It's just that time of year where there are flies everywhere. And in this part of Scotland, we have these things called midges, which I'm sure if any of our listeners have ever traveled to Scotland or indeed live in Scotland, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Like, and these tiny little flies.
They're like tiny little mosquitoes, basically. Yeah. And I was joking on Twitter this morning saying how, you know, my Polish blood just cannot deal with these things because, you know, it's just evolutionarily, like my makeup just has never came into contact with these things. I'm probably quite good with mosquitoes in Poland, but in Scotland, I'm terrible. So I woke up with like 20 bites in these things and I've just been applying cream to myself all day. So,
you know what my superpower is, Stefan?
What's that?
I've never been bitten by a mosquito.
You've never been bitten?
Mm-mm.
That's bizarre. You need to come to Scotland and see how you fare against the midges.
No, I've been to the prairies in Canada where they have something called black flies. I've been camping there with my cousin. He had 125 bites on one leg alone over one night and me zero. Don't like me. It's my superpower. I hear people complain about mosquitoes all the time, including my wife, and I'm like, eh. I cannot relate.
Do you know what? And that might be your superpower, but I absolutely despise when people talk about that. It drives me insane. Oh, I just don't get bitten. Yeah, well, why don't you go jump off a cliff?
Is that what it feels like to get bitten by mosquitoes? Jumping
no,
off a cliff?
No. I mean, I don't think midges are as bad as mosquitoes. They're definitely not. They don't carry disease or anything for a start.
Interesting.
But yeah. So I'm just feeling very sorry for myself today.
Yeah, we have nasty mosquitoes. Not so much on the coast where we live, but once you get in further inland and then in the interior, they not only have mosquitoes, but also black flies. And I've seen them take chunk of meat out of people's arms. Very nasty little creatures. No one wants to live there, to be honest with you. Like, I don't understand why these places ever been colonized. It's too cold in the winter, and in the summer you get eaten by animals. But enough of black flies, mosquitoes, and midges. I guess we have an interesting announcement, great announcement to make for our listeners. And before we do that, we'll just jump right into the break and then into the announcement. This episode of the Gegenpressing Podcast is brought to you by Bet Online. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest odds, news, sports, developing including NBA Summer League, Major League Baseball, the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use your promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, BELIEVE, to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet online, where the game starts. So yeah, Stefan, the two of us have come together and then we're going to have a newsletter as part of, I guess it's part of the podcast, the Gegen Pressing newsletter, right? Mm. And as this is your creation, baby, I let you talk and introduce it, I think.
It's just, we've been thinking about it for a while, what we want to do with the show and how we want to take it forward. And I think we've also been thinking a lot about where we want to go with the podcast. And I think just from all the support we've had from people over the summer, because we've obviously made a decision to keep going through the off season, and just from having so many lovely comments from people saying how much they appreciate us still going. And, you know, we obviously look at the numbers every week. We see more and more people signing up, more and more people listening to the show. All your lovely feedback is appreciated, reviews as well. So we just kind of had a good think about things, and we thought, well, why don't we just kind of see if there's more we can make out of this, if there's more we can offer back in terms of content. And I think the interesting thing for us is that as two guys who cover the Bundesliga, but are also kind of, you know, professional journalists overall, not just covering the Bundesliga, like obviously you do a lot of MLS stuff. I cover now quite a lot of UK football for the Transfermarkt. I think from our own experiences, we've realized that it's actually really difficult to actually, well, what we'd call the industry, to pitch stories to traditional publications and media in the UK and the US, because German football is still very much a niche subject. You know, it's difficult to ask. It's difficult to write something about, say, you know, Freiburg or Mainz or even Schalke, for really anyone now these days. People are only interested in Bayern Munich, sometimes interested in Borussia Dortmund, but more often not, the intrigue only goes as far as, you know, transfer stories on whether Man United or Chelsea or whoever are trying to sign a next wonder kid. So we've kind of thought, well, why don't we kind of put together our own little space on the web where we can go in a bit more in depth, we can talk about features, we can do interviews with players and coaches who perhaps wouldn't get their names on the back pages of the Washington Post or New York Times or the Guardian or the Telegraph or whatever else. And just really try and expand our coverage of German football. We love what we do in the podcast. We've been given the impression that you guys like it too. So we decided to put together a Substack newsletter. And as part of that, Manu and I will be writing one newsletter every week. As things stand, I'll do mine on Tuesday mornings. Manu do his on Thursday mornings. But, you know, that might twist and shake depending on who's got what coming up, holidays, or I'm getting married in a couple of months, so I'll probably have to take a week off for that, for example. And we'll also be doing a bonus podcast every Wednesday too. So I think we've set the subscription price at $5. We think that's pretty reasonable per month. And with that $5, you get both newsletters. You get the bonus podcast, which is ad-free, and you'll also get this podcast ad-free. You'll be able to sign up to a specific subscriber RSS feed through Substack, which will then, once you click on it, it will then take you through your normal podcast provider. So you won't have to listen on the web browser or anything like that. You can listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever you guys usually do. We just think it's something that we can, it's just a vehicle for us to kind of really stretch, you know, our creative muscles and kind of really dig into really interesting stories in German football that we don't think are covered elsewhere. It offers hopefully more content which you guys will enjoy. And I think above all else, it also offers an opportunity for listeners to maybe support us a bit as well and keep things going well. And yeah, we're just going to see where it takes us.
Yeah, I think that's you're touching on a few points there that I think are really important. I mean, first of all, this podcast will still be available with the ads through whoever you listen to. So obviously we want you to sign up, but if you don't or can't, we understand. You're still going to get this content. And I think for me personally, there's a lot of topics that I want to cover every week. And if you put them on Transfermarkt or Forbes, the amount of people reading it is not worth having it on that outlet. And that's unfortunate. That's just how the media landscape works. And, you know, a lot of the more intriguing stories oftentimes are not rated well by search engines or the mass appeal of the big audiences, which means that, you know, without a paywall, it's not really worth covering it. And I guess that's just the reality of what the place that we are operating in, right? So I think, and you say this, Stefan, creatively, I'm really looking forward to just do stuff on some of the other teams that usually don't get the coverage. Mm. Or some of the smaller players. Like I have an article idea already for my first one. And that would not do well on any of the official outlets, right? So that doesn't mean we're still going to do the big teams. I think we have a really good podcast idea for our first podcast that's behind the paywall. And I think that a lot of people will find intriguing, right?
Mm. So. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for example, we can probably give a little sneak, like a few hints here. Like, for example, my newsletter this week will be on, you know, Mainz's kind of Jekyll and Hyde home and away form last season. After I spoke to Bo Svensson about it, the Mainz head coach, I got his opinion on the matter. I've dug into some stats. So I'm hoping that's a kind of really in-depth piece that really diehard German football fans will appreciate, but it's obviously something that no news editor in England or America would really take much interest in. And of course, you've also got some big news as well about what you're wanting to be putting in the newsletter this summer as well.
Yeah, so I'm going to do my first piece on Matthias Tell, the young Stadtrenn forward that Bayern are going to sign. And then obviously, I think we're doing the first show on Harry Kane and what he could add to Bayern if he would ever sign, what kind of profile it is. And then, of course, next week on Sunday, I'm going on the Bayern US tour. And cover the team for a full week and travel with them, first to DC, to Washington, and then to Green Bay. They're playing DC United. We are on the verge, by the time this comes out, probably half announced Wayne Rooney as the new head coach, Stefan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be some intriguing Transfermarkt content coming your way as well. and then, of course, they're going to play Manchester City, Lambeau Field in Green Bay. And I'm actually enormously looking forward to that because that's a stadium that I've always wanted to see, but I'm not the biggest American football fan. And so I get to see it covering Bayern Munich, which is obviously something that I've done. I've covered Bayern Munich for a long time now, and I'm really intrigued to see that stadium because I think it's 85,000 seats, Stefan. It's one of those enormous American football stadiums, and I cannot wait to cover a soccer game there.
Yeah, that'd be incredible. And it just offers, and this, so we're hoping we can kind of offer that kind of literally on-the-ground insight into things that maybe don't get picked up as much, interviews. And there's also other aspects of the Substack, which I think fans will really like. So Substack do this feature called thread discussions, which obviously are exactly what they sound like, where unlike an article, we would launch this kind of thread on the Substack, and then subscribers could jump in and we could talk to them in real time. So for example, if Matthijs de Ligt signs for Bayern Munich, we can start a thread, and we can have a good chat with our subscribers about things, talk back and forth, pose questions that we could try and go and look into and answer on future podcasts and things as well. So it's just also a really fun way to maybe kind of talk more and more to subscribers. I know you guys do reach out to me every week. I get DMs on Instagram. I get DMs on Twitter and everything, even Facebook, from people talking about the podcast and even suggesting stuff. We get suggestions every single week. about what to do on the show. So we always really appreciate the feedback. We're hoping we can kind of use these threads on Substack to really build up that kind of relationship as well.
Yeah. No, it's going to be exciting. Don't worry. We have an actual podcast now coming. Now that we have the interest, a really exciting announcement out of the way. Stefan, we're going to do Dortmund this week or this in this show. We're still going to have our second podcast coming later this week, and it's going to be on Matthias de Ligt, because if we do it now, then it will be out of date the moment we publish it, because I think things are developing really quickly. So if you're waiting for Matthias de Ligt news, our decision when we started to record this podcast was that Hasan Salihamidžić is now in Turin to talk to Juventus directly. I think everyone knows what the other side wants. Matthias de Ligt only wants Bayern Munich. So I think these negotiations are going to progress in such a speedily manner that if we record something on what he can add and whether it's going to happen and all that kind of stuff, this show will be out of date so quickly that there's no point. So once that deal is done, don't worry, you're getting a podcast on it. So stay tuned, please. But yeah, we want to talk about Dortmund because they finally signed their Erling Haaland replacement, Stefan. And this isn't exactly breaking news either, with Sebastian Haller finally joining Dortmund. There's been a lot of talk on why it took so long. And the answer to that is quite simple. Ajax Amsterdam is a club listed on the Dutch stock exchange. So similar to Dortmund, they had to make an ad hoc statement that the transfer was done, right? And they wanted the transfer to fall into the new fiscal year. So essentially into their new business year. So it had something to do with tax reasons. And this is why the announcement was delayed, right? They wanted the finances to go through later. I had someone mention in my comments that, well, it's the same calendar year, but you can actually set your fiscal year at any point you want. You can start your fiscal year in July 1st and end it the next year, July 1st, right? Fiscal years are not calendar years. So that's that. It's done. Sebastian Haller now officially in black and yellow. What did you make of this deal?
Yeah, like you said, it wasn't really breaking news. I mean, we did talk about doing like a kind of breaking news podcast when it happened late last week, and like everyone knew it was coming for about 2 months, so no one's kind of scrabbling around looking for hot takes on it. But I'm really impressed with it, I must admit. I've kind of said in the podcast before about how it's a kind of departure for Dortmund in a sense that they've gone out and signed a really ready-made player. And look, I know Dortmund have signed senior players in the past, you know, usually fullbacks, usually haven't really worked out. Obviously, Mats Hummels was signed as well a few years ago. He's a little different, obviously, because he's a former player. But Haller kind of comes in, to me, as a kind of real sign of intent from Sebastian Kehl, saying, look, this is a new Dortmund. We're going to do things a little differently here. And that seems to me like they're saying, we will continue to scout these young, exciting players, who we might end up selling to Man United for 150 million euros in a few years' time, et cetera, et cetera. But we're also going to sign players who are already ripping it up in the Champions League, players who have already got Bundesliga experience, and players who came to Dortmund with the clear intention of winning trophies. You know, Sebastian Haller hasn't made the move to Dortmund in the hope that Bayern Munich will sign him next year, for example. You know, he's made the move there because he wants to win titles. And if I was a Dortmund fan, I really would be going through, I'd be doing cartwheels, just because I think he's an excellent player. But more than that, it says to me that the club are kind of finally beginning to understand the frustration the Dortmund fans have had for quite some time now, that they're not a feeder club for the Premier League. They should be up there. They should be up there buying players who want to win things. Not to say that, obviously, Jadon Sancho or Erling Haaland or Christian Pulisic or whatever didn't want to win trophies. Of course they did, but these guys didn't have the kind of maybe, I don't know the best way. I was going to say maybe they didn't have the kind of maturity. I don't think that's fair either. But there wasn't an expectation when they arrived at Dortmund that they were here to win trophies. They may say in interviews that they were, but really it was developing and move on. I think in Sebastian Haller, I think in Niklas Süle, you know, they've got some really good players there who are there for the long term, who probably think my best years are to come, and they'll be at Dortmund. So let's make the most of it.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. Süle is the other one, right, that really stands out. And it's interesting. I mean, once again, Dortmund have spent a lot of money. We have this transfer expenditure ranking on Transfermarkt. It's on the US side. I'm not sure if it's on the .co.uk side as well. I mean, obviously, we do use different widgets for different sites. But when you look at the teams that have spent the most money this year, the top four are obviously Premier League teams. Man City, Leeds, Arsenal, and Tottenham. And then right after that, it's Dortmund. They have invested a lot of money, right? With Sebastian Haller and coming in. Süle obviously was a free transfer. But it seems like there is definitely some intent. Kayom Adeyemi as well, Schlotterberg, right? Adeyemi comes in at 30 million, Schlotterbeck at 20. You can't forget Salih Özcan, Matthias Sommer, the consultant and 1996 European champion with Germany, and I think he was the World Footballer of the Year as well that year in 1996. He was a fantastic player. He's one of the last liberos, and he's worked with Bayern Munich in a sporting director, a squad consultant role. And now he's with Borussia Dortmund. He gave a really interesting interview about how this transfer window was really kind of a way for them to set. And he didn't use the word when he was asked about them finally challenging Bayern. He was actually really careful of pointing out that Dortmund have to go away from always trying to challenge Bayern, but rather go their own path. Because when you go on your own path and you bring your own character and your own mentality to the table, you're actually ending up more likely to get results and have success rather than weighing yourself with this expectation that you're finally going to end Bayern Munich's era, right? Which I actually thought was a really important thing to point out. But at the end of the day, they have all these pieces are pretty important, and Haller is the final piece here for me. And this, of course, also goes back to what they have done last year. I mean, we have to remember Daniel Malen is still at the club. And Jamie Benner-Giddens, a young, talented player, is coming up through the system. And Giovanni Reyna, there was a rumor that he might go to get loaned out to Rangers. I got a huge assist from you on that news, and then I was able to clarify that that's not going to happen.
Then you had to mute Twitter for 3 days.
Yeah, pretty much. Then Sport 1, of course, also ran it. But so he's also still there. And I think the reason I'm mentioning all these guys is because there is an interesting stat that Sebastian Haller has scored all his goals within, I think it was 8 meters of the goal, Stefan. Which, of course, that's a classic finisher for you, and he does a lot of other things that are important for Dortmund on the field rather than scoring goals. And you saw that when he played for Frankfurt as well, right? Oftentimes he created the room for other people to score. And I think this is also an aspect that is really, really important to point out, because I know there were some voices in the Netherlands that were, what are Dortmund doing with this guy? Like, thank you for giving us 40 million euros. There's two things. I lived in Amsterdam and I followed Ajax very closely at the time. And this is a club where the fans boot Zlatan Ibrahimovic. The expectations of what a forward has to be are very, very high, right? Because obviously everyone has to be Marco van Basten. Sebastian Haller is not Marco van Basten. And he doesn't have to be. He has to be the guy that makes room for the guys like Daniel Malen, like Karim Adeyemi. Yusufu Moukoko, who I think under Terzic is going to play a much bigger role. Thorgan Hazard, Marco Reus, Giovanni Reyna. All these guys are going to be playing around Sebastian Haller. And when they miss a chance, he will be there to kind of finish it off, right?
Yeah.
So he's a puzzle piece player. Does that make sense to you, what I mean with that? Like, he's kind of the final piece in the puzzle to make this team less reliant on one guy.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, it's really interesting when you kind of look at that Dortmund attacking line for a number of reasons, because obviously you got Haller in there who, let's be honest, he is basically the Haaland replacement, for lack of a better word. Not because he's as good as Haaland or he scores many goals as Haaland, but he will literally take up the space that Haaland played last season. And although I wouldn't really call Haaland a poacher or like a box player, he's maybe more of a complete forward. The way that Dortmund played with him last year was just so direct that he basically did play almost like a target man slash poacher. So Haller will basically be able to play that role. But because there's maybe less expectation on Haller to be that complete pair, or maybe not expectation, but there isn't the same kind of gravitational pull that Haaland had on the pitch. Because, you know, I mean, last season, Dortmund were basically walking onto the pitch and expecting Haaland to have answers to questions they haven't even figured out to ask yet. You know, that's just how direct they were with Haaland last season. But this season, you can really foresee a situation where Haller's at number nine, he's a box player, but they have guys like Adeyemi playing off him. Obviously, Adeyemi's a very different type of player. You know, when he first came in as well, no one really thought this guy's going to be the number nine next season. He's not going to be the Haaland replacement. But you can now see, obviously, how Adeyemi's going to play off him. And another player who I think must be probably looking at the way this team's been put together and thinking, actually, this is quite good for me, is Daniel Malen.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I think the way that Dortmund, you know, I guess I'm trying to think the best way to explain this, but the way that Dortmund was so direct with Haaland last season is they basically bypassed the midfield for much of the season. They really didn't get the most out of attacking midfielders at all. Julian Brandt had a very poor season, Marius Wolf, Thorgan Hazard. Gio Reyna obviously was injured, unfortunately. Marco Reus is probably the only one who really came out with any pass marks, and that's because he obviously built up a very good kind of chemistry with Haaland, and he was able to play off him. And you can kind of see now going into this new season, things will be a bit more relaxed in terms of the build-up play. It won't be as direct. And as a result, you can really see guys like Adeyemi and Daniel Malen maybe getting more on the ball, more involved, and potentially obviously being very good in terms of scoring goals and creating assists. I think that's already expected of Adeyemi, but I think it'd be really interesting to see if Malen can kind of bounce back next season, because unlike last season, he'll be playing in a team that actually has some sort of structure to how it attacks and how it has some sort of structure to how they want to score goals. And he won't just be chasing long balls or shadows for the rest of the season like he did last year. So that really intrigues me in terms of, I know that's not really the same as talking about strike forward players. It's not just a case of, you know, the new guys coming in being good, but it might also be a case of the new guys coming in will actually get more out of the players who didn't perform as well last season. And that'll be really interesting to see as well from an attacking point of view.
Yeah, I think this was another aspect about the Matthias Sammer interview and Kicker, that this is about the separation from Marco Rose, that he said we need to look beyond the results when it comes to the club going separate ways with the head coach. And I think what he means with that is that there wasn't a clear handwriting or in place of what the club was going to be. And I know they have been chasing that ever since Jürgen Klopp left, right? This is the eternal search for Jürgen Klopp's successor. And I think Edin Terzic now has been given all the puzzle pieces to put together to play in a way that Dortmund's board, but also the fans, expect him to play, right? And this is what I mean with Haller being that final puzzle piece. But I think there's a lot of really interesting, intriguing things going on, because he's gotten a lot of pieces now, Stefan. I mean, he has to fit in Adeyemi someone, and he's listed as a center forward, and he isn't really quite a center forward. He can play there, sure. He can occupy that space, but he's not a full-on number nine. And the same we can say pretty much about Doniel Malen, right? But I can envision a place where Doniel Malen and Adeyemi play together with Sebastian Haller up front, and you get the same sort of synergy that you had in Frankfurt with Haller and Rebic and Jokic, right? Which is obviously was very successful. We look at the current iteration of Eintracht Frankfurt, and obviously they won the Europa League, totally forgetting that the reiteration of Eintracht Frankfurt just before that was only one penalty kick away from actually reaching the Europa League final too, and probably would have won it against Arsenal. Right, so this is, he was part of a very, very successful Eintracht Frankfurt side before that, and I think it's also around that time that Dortmund probably noticed him, and they're signing the Eintracht Frankfurt Sebastian Haller, right? And I think if you kind of create that, you can recreate that sort of synergy, and while that Frankfurt side was really good, it wasn't as good in the other parts of the squad as this team, right? You don't have a Schlotterbeck in defense at Frankfurt. You don't have a Niklas Süle. Even Mats Hummels, who was probably going to have to fight really hard this year to actually have a spot, right, in the squad. Then you have a midfield. You have Sally Özkan, who actually I think that's one of those underrated signings who you look at him and say, okay, well, this, I don't know who this guy is. And then he actually comes in and he will do a lot of the stuff that they haven't had since Delaney left. And that's a really important puzzle piece. And then we forget this, Jude Bellingham is still on this team, despite all the crazy transfer rumors out there that he maybe could still leave this summer. You can put all of those to bed. Jude Bellingham isn't going anywhere this summer. But we have to remember he's still there and he's a year older and he's more experienced and he's already taking on quite a strong leadership role in this club. This is a really good squad. And it's just about putting it all together now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's still maybe some work to be done in the sense that, you know, the fullback position is still quite weak. Rafael Guerreiro seems to be linked with moves away. Nico Schultz possibly too. You know, I still think there's maybe stuff that needs to be worked on there. But in terms of, like I said at the top of the show, in terms of like a sign of intent that Dortmund are really wanting to push for things, It seems clear to me that they've obviously decided, you know, let's really go for it this year. If I was Marco Rosa and I'd sit and read my newspaper every Sunday looking at these deals going through, I'd probably be pulling my hair out because you'd obviously be wondering where all this money was last summer, but hey-ho, that's football. But you're right, it's really interesting actually what you mentioned about Matthias Sommer and his comments about not chasing Bayern to kind of still get ahead. And it actually chimes quite a lot with I was reading an interview with the Bayer Leverkusen CEO, Fernando Caro, did an interview with Sky Sports Germany over the weekend. And the thing that really stood out to me was him saying, yeah, we want to be a top four team in the Bundesliga, but more than that, we want to be a top 16 team in Europe. And I remember thinking like, well, that's actually really ambitious for really any Bundesliga club, except for maybe Bayern. If you consider that Dortmund have seriously struggled over the last 5 or 6 years to even get out of the group, more often than not, and even if they do, I mean, I know they obviously had the occasional run to the quarterfinals or whatever else, but consistently is just a really difficult task to ask for. So, but I thought it was really interesting that that's obviously how Leverkusen look at it too. And it's actually quite a healthy way to look at it. Leverkusen, to kind of get to the next level, don't actually have to beat Bayern. They just have to put together a squad that can finish in the top four consistently, can help hold its own in the Champions League, and then at that point, if they can kind of maintain that level, the ability to challenge Bayern Munich will come along on its own. And Dortmund are in the exact same boat in that sense. Yeah. You know, they have to sort their own house out. They have to, you know, they've obviously managed to finish in the top four plenty of times this season. Last season, it wasn't very hard to finish second, despite everything that was going on at the club. But they've got a lot of work to do to kind of rebuild their reputation in Europe, in my opinion. Because it's been a long time since Dortmund were serious big hitters in the Champions League. And that's the kind of thing that you can see there's so much room for improvement above and beyond how many points they finish behind Bayern next season, because you know the narrative around Dortmund would be entirely different if they were losing the Bundesliga every title every season, but they were pushing for the semi-finals in the Champions League every year, you know, and that's really what Dortmund should be doing. I'm not saying they should be, you know, manhandling Chelsea or Manchester City or PSG out of the transfer window and outbidding them for players. Of course not, but they are still one of the top 10, top 15 clubs in the world in terms of revenue. So this summer we're seeing from them is really what they should be doing every year. And I guess it just comes down to whether they've got the head coach in place to kind of put all these pieces of the puzzle together.
Yeah, you have to put the horse before the cart, right? Before you exactly. do anything else. And that statement is true for a couple of things. First, you need the right head coach, but I like what you bring up with Bayer Leverkusen. I think it's much smarter to say, okay, well, we want to be a top 16, top 10 team in Europe, because let's say three or four Bundesliga teams do that, rather than saying, oh, we want to chase Bayern, we're one of the top three teams in Europe, right? I mean, they're just a giant. But the thing is, if you have more Bundesliga teams saying, oh, we want to be consistently good in Europe, then eventually there's going to be enough challenge for Bayern Munich in the Bundesliga that one of the other teams, whether it's Leverkusen, Dortmund or Leipzig, are just going to beat them to the title because they have lost enough games to these other big teams. Hmm. See what I mean? Yeah. Right. So it's almost actually smarter to say we have to stop this goose chase to try to beat Bayern, but rather just ensure that we're actually a strong club in Europe, because that automatically will mean that eventually we're going to beat Bayern anyways. It's actually a much better and more healthy way to reach your targets in some ways, right? To have that ambition, to set a realistic goal within Europe. And I mean, other than Bayern Munich and Eintracht Frankfurt, the Bundesliga has really struggled in Europe. And that includes, as you said, Dortmund, but it also includes someone like Leverkusen. And for some odd reason, Bayern have had, I mean, Bayern always had this mentality going all the way to the 70s, that they have always been the team that represented the Bundesliga well in Europe. Recently, Frankfurt has been, of all places, Frankfurt have been a place that have done a great job of representing the Bundesliga in Europe, because they always went deep in the European competition and actually ended up winning a title, right? And that's really important. So if you are Leverkusen and you fall to the Europa League for whatever reason, because you have a tough Champions League group, you need to be the team to win the thing, right? Because that kind of ambition then leads to players saying, well, we had Mario Götze join Eintracht Frankfurt because he's like, oh, I can win something there, right? And this is what needs to happen at Dortmund. It needs to not always be the Bundesliga title, but you have to be able to say, oh, maybe we're going to win something in Europe. Sometimes that's easier. Yeah. Real Madrid, when Barca dominated La Liga a few years ago, they won what, like three out of four Champions League titles.
And no. you can even maybe use Atletico Madrid as an example to that too. Yeah. They built a team that obviously got to Champions League finals when they were nowhere near winning the league, and then obviously last season they stepped in when Real Madrid and Barcelona stumbled. Not last season, obviously the season before, technically.
And so Atletico has a smaller budget than most Bundesliga teams.
Yeah, and there's certainly something to be said for building a team that can compete in Europe and just letting everything else fall into place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like, again, that success leads to success domestically. It's an interesting one, and I think Dortmund are going to be very fascinating to watch this year, because we have on this show obviously focused quite a bit on Bayern. We have focused quite a bit on Leipzig as well, because right for some odd reason they seem almost like the more natural challenger to Bayern Munich at the moment. And so Dortmund have been, I think that's actually almost a good place to be for Dortmund, because the other day I went through the transfers and I'm like, well, yeah, Leipzig are going to be very strong this year. Maybe they're going to beat Bayern. And then I looked at Dortmund and I'm like, oh, I completely forgot that they also signed Karim Adeyemi. Oh, man, yeah, they also got Schlotterbeck and Süle. It's like, oh, man, they're going to be very good this year if they put it all together.
Well, that's the golden question, isn't it?
Yeah.
The question that will decide whether they... finish the season with a over the top salad bowl or not?
Yeah, I mean, I know it's for a lot of people that watch the Bundesliga, they're very frustrated by Bayern's dominance. Unless you're a Bayern fan, there's lots of people that support Bayern Munich and they're just loving this. And I think this is something that people have to remember too. There is a club that really loves winning titles and they would be just elated to make it 12 in a row or 13 in a row or 14 in a row. You know, they would have no problem with that whatsoever. And if they can get a couple of Champions League titles on the road, yeah, they'll do that too. And that's who you need to beat. You need to beat a team absolutely addicted to winning titles. And that's difficult. And a lot of people around out there enjoy it, being this title hamster. So fair enough. I just want to acknowledge that these people exist and I have absolutely no problem with that. If you're a Bayern Munich fan and you love winning titles every year, good for you. And that's really what it comes down to. Someone else has to challenge that, and it has to come naturally. It can't be just Bayern Munich saying, oh yeah, we're going to give up a Bundesliga title. They'll never, ever do that. They will never do that. So for Dortmund, this is all about putting it all together. Mm-hmm. I had a final thought, but it kind of elated me now.
We'll save it for the bonus podcast on Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is our Dortmund show wrapped up. As always, this podcast is brought to you by Bet Online, and we're going to have a bonus show back, and then of course once Matthias De Ligt is announced, because I think he will be announced at some point soon, we're gonna come back with you. And I think we're gonna maybe also Lewandowski, Stefan, they want to wrap up too before they go to the US.
So I'll go very quickly. Good thing we've got a website for it now.
Yeah, exactly. the next 5 days are key. Keep your eye out on that. And as for Dortmund, I think my final thought was this. They're trying to get rid of Rafael Guerrero, Stefan, to make room to sign David Raum. Mm. That's the one last piece, I think, that they're looking to get.
That would be quite something. That really would be quite something, because he's not going to be cheap, I think.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see.
Anyways, that's it from us from this show. I hope you enjoy the newsletter. I hope you enjoy this podcast. Please give us a review on this podcast as well if you have the chance. 5-star ratings are always appreciated. And thank you so much as always for listening. And we'll be back with another show very soon. Until then, auf Wiedersehen. In Sicht.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.